Thanks so much, Brother Anderson. It's so wonderful to be here with you all for this meeting. And I'm so thankful that you are holding it. So many congregations have gotten away from holding gospel meetings. And because they say, well, it won't be well attended. Or they say, well, the numbers will be down. Or all of the different excuses that Satan tempts us to use. But I'm so thankful that you've had the courage and the wherewithal to want to have the gospel preached. And so I pray that in doing thus, I can give God the glory in spreading and teaching His word. I'm also thankful that Brother Emerson is so active on the internet and with using that source of media to reach out with the truth. He has a great website and he does a lot of good work there. I was able to download and listen to some of his sermons, and you just don't know what type of influence you can have because, you know, you can access the internet and libraries and just worldwide. And who would think that a place small in population but big in support of the truth like Menlo can have that influence. And so I'm thankful for that, and I admire him for taking that initiative and being involved in that. And I appreciate your support of the Gospel Broadcasting Network and other efforts to reach out with the gospel, because that's our job, right? We are to be sowers of the seed and to broadcast it. Literally is what it meant in the original. And so we get to use that through technology, through word of mouth, through the print media, in every way we can, that if we can get the gospel message out, then it'll be a glory to God. Let's sing number 189. Sing the first and third stanza of 189. Before we have our sermon this morning, 189. Let's all stand together if it's convenient for you. 189. Of one the Lord has made the race, of one has come the fall. Where sin has gone must go is grace, the gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all, the gospel is for all. Where sin has gone must go His grace, the gospel is for all. Receive ye freely, freely give in every land they call. Unless they hear, they cannot live, the gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all, the gospel is for all. Where sin has gone must go His grace, the gospel is for all. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much for the great job that has been done, Brother Sean, in leading our singing and your participation. I tell you, we know and understand that not only is instrumental music unscriptural, it's unnecessary. When we all sing out and our voices become, as it were, a sweet savor to the Lord, because we're doing it in spirit and in truth. Amen. And that's what we need to be involved in continually, understanding what the will of God is. And so many people today find themselves worshiping, studying together with other individuals, have the Bible open. Maybe they've had a prayer. And maybe they have other religious ceremony, and yet still are not following the will of God. And you ask people today, well, what is the will of God? And people say, well, you can't know God's will. No one can know the mind of God. And most people say that without understanding the Bible, because we can know the will of God. And we're very blessed to have the privilege to know God's full will living today in the Christian dispensation. Because God has revealed it in the pages of Holy Writ, that we can read and understand where we are spiritually, where we are with God, and then we can also understand what God's final will is, and that is that a day is coming upon which we will be judged both good and bad, and God will hold us to the standard that He has written. He is not going to change His standard on that great and final day. And so we can choose for it to be a day of victory or for it to be a day of terrible sadness. Because ultimately God is going to hold us individually accountable. So we need to understand about God's judgment. Now there's much misunderstanding today when it comes to what we say judging or how we would describe it. And so we need to understand that when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, judge not, lest ye be judged, that there is a teaching principle there. That He's teaching us not to condemn arbitrarily. We're not to just go out and blanketly say, well, all of these people are you, and just point out a number and say, you're going to be lost. Based on what I see you doing, you're going to be lost. Or you're not worthy of God. We don't have that authority. But we do have the authority that is written. And so we can hold a person up and say, are you a member of God's body? Are you a member of the church? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you obeyed the gospel? And when we say those things, we're using the measure that God has written, not one that man has written. And so today, when you ask a person, well, are you a Christian? And they hyphenate and say, well, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm also this. And you can fill in the blank, whether it's Baptist, whether it's Methodist, whether it's Catholic, whether it's Episcopal, and so many different names and different teachings. How can that all come from one book? God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And so we must understand, how can we know peace? Galatians 5:22 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? Love, joy, peace, temperance, faithfulness, goodness. Against such things, there is no law. We can obtain those things. We can live a life that is blessed, that is a life of total spiritual tranquility. Doesn't mean that we're going to always be happy. Doesn't mean that bad times aren't going to come, because they will. We can count on that, can't we? Part of life is that we're going to suffer, whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally. But the blessing is to know that God watches and He sees, and He will see us through those things, and He will bring us out on the other side, so that I might glorify Him and not boast in my own glory. And that's the blessing. And so understanding what God's judgment is. First of all, first point is that God's judgment is personal. And we talk about that and they say, well, you know, I don't want to judge anybody. You know, I don't care if it's the president. I don't care if it's next to my next door neighbor. I don't want to judge them. But then we'll say, but, you know, I saw them out there having that beer. Or I saw them hanging out with that person that wasn't their wife or wasn't their husband. And so we make judgments. And we do that all the time. We do that with our laws, don't we? If the speed limit says 55, you're coming down there on Highway 136, and the officer stops you and he says, I clocked you either on the radar or I paced you, and the speed that I came up with for your vehicle was 65. And they say the posted speed limit is 55. He's made a judgment. Now, it wasn't an arbitrary judgment, because he can't just pick a car and say, I think I'll stop him. I think I'll stop her because I think they're speeding. He has to measure it. But once he's measured it according to how the law has set the standard, that authority holds. Why? Because he has the authority to stop an individual when they are speeding. Now, that person can't say, well, no, Mr. Officer, I can't take that ticket. You're judging me. You are judging me. I know I was speeding, but you can't judge me. Will that work? No, it won't. And the same thing when it comes to the medical field, right? Isn't it amazing that you can get a prescription? And you can take that prescription to Walmart. You can take that prescription to Walgreens. You can take that prescription to CVS. You can take that prescription to any pharmacist. And by law, they must exactly administer that prescription according to the way it's written. The name, the exact measure, the exact time that you're going to take it, everything. How long you have to take it. By law, they must be the same. And we understand that. We wouldn't accept someone saying, well, you know what? This is the prescription, but I think this is going to be a little bit better. Why don't we just give you half? Or you know what? This is a good medicine, so why don't we just double it? That'll make you get well faster, won't it? We wouldn't accept that. That's ridiculous. But when it comes to the Bible, we will accept all manner of excuses. We'll accept all manner of philosophies and all manner of ways of understanding and trying to interpret the text. And that's because we treat it subjectively. Whatever is right for you is right for you. And whatever is right for me is right for me. That's what Satan says. But the Bible says there is a personal judgment, that I'm going to be personally held responsible for the things that I say and the things that I do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in the heart. He says, if you're going to make a judgment, make that judgment according to God's standard. And so if we've lived and behaved ourselves in such a way that we fit that standard, then you ought to judge us right and not just according to popularity. And how many times does that happen today? Whether it's on television, whether it's at our stadiums and college campuses, people look, and if they see hundreds or tens of thousands of people coming out to hear some religious figure, they think that that person has something to say. And how sad it is when you measure what they say up against the Word of God, most of the time, they don't measure up. And so people will tell you, just accept Jesus in your heart and you'll be saved. Just accept Him as your personal Savior and you won't find that anywhere in Scripture. I don't care how you try to twist Romans 10, 9 and 10 where it says, call upon the name of the Lord. That calling is not just saying, well, Jesus, come into my heart. That's a process that He's talking about. There is a way by which we call upon the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. We're called by the gospel. That process by which we learn what God requires of me personally to be pardoned of my sins. He does not make exceptions based on individuals. Right? We're the same whether Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. Now you remember that. In the time of the first century, the Jews had a lot of problems when it came to gender, didn't they? It was a male-oriented society. And so women were seen as second-class citizens, just as properties, basically, of men. And yet Jesus came and expanded that and said that a woman has her right to worship and have her own relationship to the Lord according to His will, not the rule of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or any other creed of men. And so if it wouldn't stand then, it won't stand today. We'll be judged according to our deeds. I have four brothers. My mother would come home from work. Something hadn't been done. She'd call us all three and say, now listen, who did I give this responsibility to? And either I would speak up or my younger brother would. And she would ask them. And if they didn't tell the truth, then she'd ask us. But she was going to find out based on what she had said and the task that she'd assigned to that individual, you're responsible for. We didn't get in trouble for something. Well, sometimes we did. But you were only judged based on what you were supposed to do. She didn't judge you arbitrarily and say, well, I'm going to spank you or punish you for what he should have done. No, you have to be responsible for yourselves. And most parents are that way. We want to be fair. We don't want to treat our children differently. We don't want to have play favorites. We don't do that. That's not right. It's not being fair. How do we understand that standard from God's Word? That He is fair and impartial in the way that He meters out both reward and punishment. He blesses those that are faithful. He punishes those that are unfaithful. And that's fair. That means that we each have an equal chance to be right and to be pleasing to Him. If not, then God is arbitrary. If not, then God is partial and prejudicial. And we know, according to His Word, that it's impossible for God to break not only His promise or to tell that which is false. Romans chapter 2, beginning verse 8. The Bible reads, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, but also of, or and also of the Greek. God is going to hold us all to the same standard. That's what makes judgment so sobering. That you see that just because I am a baptized Christian, just because I've obeyed the gospel, just because I'm a member of the Church of Christ, I'm a member of the body of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. We're all members of one body. See, I can be a member of the body and still be held accountable if I don't fulfill His will. We call that living faithfully, don't we? Right? One who's been baptized, but again goes back to the world. or began to follow their own influence in their own heart, God is going to judge. And how sobering it is to think about that. To think about people that I came to worship with, and friends and family, and those who may not have obeyed the gospel. And then I look over there and I say, you know, I could have told them the truth. I could have told them what the Bible says. I could have showed them that God has the same standard. But the sobering thing is, you know, I won't be looking over at them. We'll be on the same side together. Because God is going to hold us both accountable. And so it's not that I'm going to be saved and looking over at someone. We're both going to be lost. And how sad that will be to see those who have been faithful and know that I had the opportunity to do what was right. And for whatever reason, I chose to have a hard heart. How sad it is today that folks won't humble themselves to the truth. As a young man, I really wanted to know the Bible. My parents weren't very religious. Didn't really have a strong affiliation, or at least at the time when I was younger, I didn't know of my mother's affiliation with the church because she was unfaithful. And so I would come to school and hear people talk about the Bible and talk about Jesus. And you can't imagine what it's like to have no knowledge, really, of what they're even talking about. Where I'm from in Missouri, in St. Louis, is a very large Catholic area. So there's a big influence there. So as a young man, saw a big Catholic cathedral. I just went in there. Wanted to see if God was there. And I saw all these great statues, all this ornate decorations. And it was very quiet and very solemn there. But I didn't find God there. Didn't find him until I was much older. Didn't find him first until my mother decided to turn her life back over to the Lord and be restored. And then I began to learn and understand, wait a minute, that you can read and understand what the Bible says and you can know what God's will is? Why doesn't everybody know about this? Why are we telling everyone? Well, sometimes individuals don't want to hear. Sometimes they're just ignorant of it, not in a negative way, but they just don't know. And we'll say that. We'll say, well, listen, they really want to know the truth. They know where we are. Just come to worship. Come to Bible class. And they'll understand it. But you know what? There are so many people out there struggling that don't know. That'll never come to worship. They'll never come to Bible class. We can't accept that excuse. I don't believe God will on the day of judgment. I believe he's going to hold me personally responsible that I didn't go out there and tell people the truth. That when people ask me a Bible question, if I didn't give them a Bible answer, and do the best I could to know and understand his will. Colossians chapter 3, beginning verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Right? It is so empty and so meaningless when they do that little water thing over a baby, thinking somehow they protected them, thinking somehow they have some sin carried over from generation to generation to Adam. And yet that verse refutes it all. An infant child is innocent. The judgment of an infant child, they are safe. They're neither saved nor lost. They don't have the cognitive ability to choose to follow or not to follow. They're safe. I'm so much more concerned about adults than I am about infant children. To know and do the will of God. Because you know what? No matter what my parents didn't do or did do, ultimately God's going to hold me responsible now as an adult man. He expects me to seek out the truth and to find the right answers. And so I ask people a lot of times, well, you know, what did y'all study at your church this Sunday? And they'll say, oh, we studied about the will of God. Or we studied about the Gospel of John. And I said, oh, that's good. I said, can you tell me about that? Can you tell me some scriptures? And they may begin to tell me all things about how good John was or the good influence that Jesus did or all of these things. But what does that mean to me personally? Did that help you? That's a lot of times I ask. And I say, well, it was good. But I don't know that it really helped me. I don't know that it really stirred me. But you know what? I just keep going. I keep studying. You know, they tell me. I want to know who they are. They say that if you just keep studying, the Lord's going to reveal you to you. And I say, I wonder how long it's going to take. Maybe today's your last day. Then what? Then what? Can you say, well, I just was waiting and waiting and waiting, but no one ever taught me and gave me the truth. We need to understand something here from Colossians 3, that God will bless those with the reward of inheritance. You know what that means? If I inherit something, then I have to do everything that's in keeping with that will of the one who's inherited it, right? If I leave that family, I've left the inheritance. I've left the will. But in order to receive what I inherit, I must be in good standing with the family. We understand that. But why is it when it comes to spiritual things? We miss it. Don't you understand that personally, we're already citizens of heaven? Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21. Our citizenship, our life is already in heaven. Our place is there in reserve, but we have to make the choice to work and be faithful in order to receive it. If not, friend, if you haven't been doing that, I challenge you to come to know what the will of God is. Share that with your neighbor sometime and just ask them, do you believe everybody's going to go to heaven? And just listen. You don't have to tell them a lot of scriptures. Just listen to what they have to say. And then be mindful the next time that you can give them a scripture to help them to know. Well, you know, the Bible says clearly not everyone is going to go. And I said, well, how do you know? How can you know if you're going or if you're not going? Well, God reveals it. That's part of God's judgment. See, so many times we attach judgment with punishment. But God's judge is supremely just. That's the blessing. That if I'm faithful, He is just and He is good and merciful. That He's going to watch over me. Oh, I've made some mistakes in trying to follow His will. But I was genuinely trying. I genuinely obeyed Him according to the Word of God. Second point, the judgment of God is universal. As we hasten to a close here. Judgment of God is universal. It's not prejudicial. It's not partial. We read right there from that verse that God is no respecter or has no respect of persons. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, we all need the Lord, don't we? So many people today, young people, think, well, you know, when I get a little bit older, then I'll obey the gospel, and then I'll start going to church regularly, and, you know, then I'll live a Christian life. But right now, I'm young. I want to do the things that I want to do. And how sad it is that we don't understand that death comes to everybody, young and old alike, and you don't know where death is. Tomorrow is not promised. But that judgment is universal. No one will miss the judgment. Kings, we talked about that in Bible class, didn't we? Presidents, CEOs, that doesn't give you any immunity to the judgment of God. We're all going to be held accountable, even those that were sincere, right? Turn over there with me to Matthew chapter 7. What a powerful verse it is when we think about the way that God will judge and that His standard is the same. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are they ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or flags of thistles or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Well, Lord, I was so sincere. Lord, we did so many good works. We gave to the Red Cross. We helped out the victims of Hurricane Katrina. You know, we helped out this family when they were burned out of their home. You know, you did good. But that's not all I required. And that's the saddest thing. To know that there are those who do a lot of good works. Good, moral living people. They're just. They don't break any laws. They're honest for the most part. And yet God has a standard that's higher than that, right? Brother Wayne preached about sins of omission and commission. See, we can be held accountable for those things that we just leave out. And God doesn't accept our standard for good. Because, see, your standard for what is good and mine are going to be totally different. Because yours is going to be based on your perspective and mine on my own experience and background. But God's standard is the same. And if He says a tree is good, then it is. And so literally those that are a part of His kingdom according to the truth that have obeyed the gospel are a part of it. And no man can change that. No man can have the influence or the power or the authority to tell someone they're saved or not saved except it be by the plan of pardon. Unless a person hears and believes the truth that Jesus is the Son of God and by Him is the only way that we'll enter into glory, everything else is in vain. And to believe something else, the Hebrews writer tells us, is it's just like putting Jesus on the cross again. There's no more sacrifice for sin. To look anywhere else other than Christ won't help. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 38. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. They shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. We can understand that from the Old Testament, don't we? The people of God rebelled, and God separated, right? The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom went into apostasy, went into rebellion, left the Lord. Their kingdom was destroyed. Judah, the southern kingdom, should have saw that example and understood. Those kings should have understood that when I'm unfaithful to God, God brings or allows destruction of the nation. But of course they didn't. And Judah was destroyed as well. And the same thing can happen to the church. So many churches that are now divided, that are split, and God hates disharmony. He wants us to strive together for unity, but we can only have unity according to the Word of God. Without it, then we're no different than any other philosophy nor any other denomination. The only thing that makes a difference is the fact that we hold to the truth. And we hold on to it with everything in our minds and everything in our hearts, everything in our beings. Because we are the body, right? It's not the building, it's not the carpet, it's not these pews, it's us. So if God's judgment is universal, it not only will be for the world, but it'll also be for those that are Christians. Not everyone in the wilderness entered into the land of promise, but only those who are faithful to God, and only those who are worried in the wilderness entered, right? But God destroyed many and caused many to lose their lives because of their unfaithfulness and disobedience. Third point as we close. God's judgment will be just. No man will ever be able to say to God, this is unfair. You know what, God? You just didn't like me. You just didn't give me a fair chance, Lord. You just didn't give me the opportunity. Because according to the promise and will of God, every man will have the opportunity to hear and know the truth. John 12, verse 48 is still true. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. That's what will be held up. Won't be able to say, well, Brother Todd, I just didn't agree with what Brother Todd said. And they'll say, wait a minute. God's going to say, did he teach you the truth? Was it my word? And if you can say yes, then he's going to hold you to that standard. Our actions will hold us either in a position that's blessed before God or in a position that causes his wrath. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This week we have a wonderful opportunity to reach out with the gospel to this community and to far-reaching communities, whether it's Rome and other surrounding cities, with the truth. People need to hear and know that God's standard is still alive and well, and it's the Word of God. There are a lot of religions out there that can make us feel good. A lot of thoughts and philosophies that will rationalize whatever you do, whether it's being divorced, whether it's being in a homosexual relationship, whether it's being a gambler or a drunkard, whatever. You can find a place that will tell you you're okay. But just let us all be aware that God is going to judge us according to the Word. And that's the sobering part of this. He's going to judge us according to His Word. God's judgment last will be final. The time for plea, for bargains, for exceptions, for some other way out will never come to pass. Because he will say on that final day, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There is no other way to enter into life except by the blood of Christ. Just won't happen. Nothing else can remove sin. Nothing else can put us in that right relationship with him. Nothing else adds us to the kingdom of Christ except his blood. And I can't come in contact with that until I enter into that watery grave of baptism. It's so simple. It's so simple to hear and understand the truth, to believe it with all my heart, to repent of sin, change my life, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's in authority, and then be baptized for the remission of sins, and then live my life the way God always intended. Faithful, humble, serving, submissive, understanding his will, and being the right example. and then I get to enter into heaven. Think about this. Satan never promised anything to anybody, and yet he has more followers and more of those who will find themselves wanting on that great day of judgment. This morning, maybe if you haven't been right with the Lord, maybe this lesson has challenged you to repent and to be more committed to him. The soberness of judgment is still real and still true. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, I plead with you humbly that you'd open your heart to the truth. Study with myself, with Brother Emerson. We'll take the time to answer your questions. We'll take the time to show you scriptures so that you can know what the will of God is and know where you're standing on that great day of judgment. Heed the Lord's invitation as we stand, as we sing.
Here it is, song.